Well, our next guest, Sally Krawcheck, has been there and done that twice. Been among the most powerful women on Wall Street. From 2009 to 11, she headed up global wealth and investment management for Bank of America Merrill Lynch. She increased profits even as Bank of America was struggling. Before that, from 2001 to 8, she held top jobs at Citibank. She was fired from both banks. Her fallout with Citibank came after she insisted the bank pay investors back for toxic securities. In 2002, Fortune magazine put her on the cover, called her the last honest analyst on Wall Street. Now she's advising business startups, helping political hopefuls like Stephen Colbert's sister, Elizabeth Colbert Bush, who's running for Congress in South Carolina. And Sally Krawcheck is arguing for more banking reform, requiring banks to have more cash on hand, requiring them to better pay their executives. And you shareholders, you don't get off easy either. She wants dividends to more accurately reflect earnings, even if those dividends are lower. We want to talk to her about all of this and the current debate about women in business leaning in. Sally Krawcheck spoke at this week's Simmons College Leadership Conference here in Boston. She's in our studios. Welcome.
Thank you. Good to be here.
So just get right to the firings. Do you think, as someone said in a New York Times article after you were fired from Citibank, that you carried your advocacy too far?
Well, I would say that some of the opinions I'm expressing outside of the banks were some of the opinions I expressed inside the banks about the need for different forms of compensation, about the need for additional capital for the banks. And during the early days of the downturn, 2008-2009, I did advocate for, when we had sold products to our individual investor clients that we thought were low risk, but they weren't, and they were supposed to go down a few cents in a bad market, but they went down many, many cents, almost the whole amount, that I advocated returning the money. And there was a back and forth and back and forth, and I won that battle, but I lost the job.
Tell us more about what you were arguing for, because some would say, well, the Dodd-Frank Act was passed, the stock market's way up, so what's the problem?
Well, we'll know in the next downturn, won't we? I mean, you know, you don't really get the measure when times are good. In fact, you probably don't get the measure when times are very bad. It's when they're very, very bad. Mm-hmm. That you really see, do the banks have enough capital? And that's one thing. For all that Dodd-Frank is 848 pages and goes into great, great detail, one of the questions I've been asking is, how do we know if it's enough capital? You know, we know it was too little before. It's more now. Is more enough?
Well, let's explain, because most people know that this was the thinking that when things went south, the banks didn't have enough cash on hand for the risks they were taking, not enough money to cover all of these losses. There had been a lot of talk and some regulation about increasing this ratio of how much cash you have to how much risks you're going to take. But you remind us that there's a million different ways to talk about capital.
There's the risk-based capital. There's the tier one capital. There's the tangible mm-hmm. capital. You know, there's gap equity. How many kinds of equity are there? You know, you feel sorry for the poor boards. How in the world are they ever really going to understand this and be able to ask the tough questions? Same with the regulators. Frankly, and I used to say it, the same with some of the management team. And there's a bit of a everybody acts like they get the whole thing, but it's enormously complicated.
Then they don't, as we've seen recently. So it sounds like you're saying just simplify it so that there is cash on hand. But I want to, you mentioned the board of directors. You may feel sorry for them, but not that sorry. The New York Times recently reported that while pay on Wall Street hasn't come back to pre-crisis levels, pay for board directors has soared.
Well, and let's be honest, though, their time commitments have soared, too. But it's still not a full-time job.
You think should be?
Well, I don't know that it should be. What I actually think we should do is that boards should be cut in about half. What the research shows is the best groups for making decisions and taking personal responsibility are about 8 people. When you have boards that are 15, 16, 17, 18 people, what you can watch happen is that people lean back in their chair as opposed to, I guess, one of the themes, lean forward into their chair. I've seen board members, well, I've asked too many questions. Let me give someone else a turn. And so there's a diffusion of responsibility. These are well-meaning individuals who want to do the right thing but are so overwhelmed by the complexity and the detail of the banks, it's a very hard job to do.
Let's talk about some of the other things you suggest. You say pay executives with bonds as well as stock. Now, the thinking was if you put stock along with cash in these huge salaries, it would give these executives more skin in the game. They'd be less likely to be flippant about the stocks. But you're saying, what, go beyond stocks
wrong.
To bonds?
I think it's wrong. Did anybody ever buy a stock because they wanted it to stay stable? No. You buy it because you want it to go up. How do you make it go up? And a business executive makes it go up by taking on risk and looking to get a return. Well, banks are bundles of risk. That's what they are. They're consumer credit risk, they're market risk, they're interest rate risk, they're compliance risk. Equity encourages more risk. Equity holders are short term. The average stockholder for a bank holds it for 3 months. 3 months. So they're looking for a quick return. So what we've done, yeah, it's good we have people hold the stock longer. But what we've done is we've given them more of an instrument that encourages risk. A bond, on the other hand, if your listeners own a bond, what do they want? They want a fair interest rate, yes, but they want to get their money back. Bondholders are definitely the guys who are saying, don't take the risk, don't take the risk. The equity holders are saying, take it, take it, take it. So what I've recommended is, why don't we shift that pay structure so that we're paying bank executives more in a risk-discouraging as opposed to a risk-encouraging instrument.
Well, I can't see that going over very well, that suggestion.
Well, what's actually interesting, it's gotten some attention. I've heard from some board members, and in fact, UBS, a big Swiss bank, is beginning to move toward bonds.
Well, and when it comes to the shareholders, you say pay the dividends out to them that are a percentage of the earnings of their investments. In other words, if their money stops growing, then the pay out to them should also be cut to these shareholders. Because right now, what? There's a gap between the earnings might start falling, but the dividends are still high?
Well, that's what happens. So dividends are declared as a cents per share. And if a company's earnings start to deteriorate, they're paying out more of those earnings in that dividend. Companies hate to cut their dividends, hate to cut their dividends. One, because it's a signal that things are wrong for a while. Two, people change their minds about outlooks very, very slowly. So even what's clear in hindsight, oh, geez, the banks were going downhill fast. That's clear in hindsight. I promise you, on the inside, people were saying, you know, I think it's just a blip. I think it's going to get better. So they didn't cut the dividends. If the dividends had declined as the earnings declined, we wouldn't have had nearly the bailout as we did. If a bicycle shop is taking too much risk, paying dividends that are too high, and it goes under, you know, the head of the bicycle shop and a few bicycle riders suffer. If a bank, on the other hand, takes too much risk, it's not just the shareholders and the bank executives that hurt. It can be the entire economy and the entire financial system. So what people miss, I think, in the debate is a bicycle shop does not equal a bank, right? Those are two very different things. And so we have to have a different approach to and a different take on the large banks than we do for, to my mind, the rest of corporate America.
That's former top Wall Street executive Sally Krawcheck. She also wants bank boards to better scrutinize their divisions that are doing well, spend more time with businesses that are doing well because they're probably taking higher risks. We'll link you to all of her writing at hereandnow.org. She also has tips if you've also been fired. She says, don't listen to frenemies. At one company, a woman told her a man might be able to start another chapter after being fired, but Sally surely wouldn't. She did. And that reminds us, we'll also ask her about women at the higher rungs of the ladder in the workplace, especially with Sheryl Sandberg of Facebook mandating us all to lean in. That conversation with Sally when we come back. And later, by the way, are the kinds of taxes southern states choose to enact actually killing poorer people? A provocative thought later today. Back in a minute, here and now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink technical computing software, accelerating the pace of discovery in engineering and science. Find over 200 job openings at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with former top Wall Street executive Sally Krawcheck. She's been laying out her case for reforming Wall Street. She wants to require banks to have more cash on hand, to pay executives with bonds as well as stocks, because bonds encourage more long-term thinking, less risk, also forcing banks to cut dividends, if the earnings fall. And Sally, some would say great ideas, but at the same time, they may also be saying, you have been fired from two big jobs on Wall Street, so why should they listen to you?
Well, this is exactly why I should be listened to. which is I am one of the few folks who has the knowledge and information of a long-term career in these institutions and the independence to speak out. You know, I was fired in some ways for the right reasons. You know, if you're advocating for clients and you get sort of kicked to the curb, that's very different from you underperformed. So,
will you ever go back to a big bank?
You know, I'm running out of big banks.
That's right. To be hired and fired from.
Yeah. But I actually view it as a bit of my responsibility as a citizen. There are very few people who have been on the inside of these institutions who are willing to speak about it, and those who have the knowledge, most of them work there. So there, I think there's really been a hole in the discussion. And while I understand people, you know, can always criticize you for talking out, isn't this really what we're supposed to do in this country?
Well, it's interesting, too, because we're speaking to you just before we're going to speak with Facebook's Sheryl Sandberg about her new book, mm-hmm. Lean In. And it sounds as if that was not your problem. You were like the leaning tower of pizza. You were leaning in.
I was leaning in, and I got a palm to my face sort of pushing me back out. I think, look, if you look at career trajectories, it is a lot better to be in a growing industry than a shrinking industry. And so technology, there is a lot more room at that table, which helps everybody. In financial services, the number of seats at the table are shrinking. And so what I've also spoken about is that whereas in corporate America broadly, we're seeing a stagnation in the number of women at the table, in financial services, we've seen a reduction of the number of women at the table.
So in one industry, it's just stagnated, but in another, it's actually dropping.
That's exactly right. We've got lots of different opinions about women in business, and it's a very emotional topic, as we're seeing. But the facts are that greater diversity at the top of these institutions drives higher returns, super, lower risk. Oh, my gosh, for banks, that's even better. A greater client focus. I mean, these are things that in financial services, these big banks, we're not having this conversation at all. And what she has done, and what I'm so grateful to her for doing, she shared her story and she's given a way. The conversation, what's interesting, can now continue. Okay, well, here's what I did and here's what worked for me. But I would like to include the challenges that working mothers face, stay-at-home moms yeah. face. I think there's a lot more conversation to be had.
Well, and she does touch on it, but you point out that women have to ultimately make different choices. You had a son, a teenager, who was very ill, but your fabulous husband and the doctors all said, no, it's really nothing. You demanded that he be taken to the emergency room. What was it?
When you have a son who's old enough to grow a beard, and he, as you're leaving his room thinking he's asleep, and he says, don't leave me, Mommy. You know, it was a bolt from the blue. It turned out that his spleen was bleeding. He actually had a very severe case of mono. And so as I think about when I've gotten kicked out of these institutions, you know, I do say to myself, if I hadn't, you know, I traveled 3 nights a week out of 5, would I have been there? And thank God I was there because...
He would have died.
Well, it was getting serious pretty quickly.
So in effect, you were leaning in as a mother.
Mm-hmm. The work-life balance at any point in time is very difficult. You know, I've taken 3 career breaks. The first one was when I was pregnant with my son and after he was born. And it was a very important one for me because that's when I said, you know, I do want to work. That's how we want to build this family and this life. But it gave me the time to shift from being an investment banker, which didn't work for me, to being a research analyst. That was a huge break for me. The second time was after I left Citi. And the third time is right now. And these have been very rejuvenating and regenerating. Now, I've also been fortunate because, of course, sadly, the research shows that women who take career breaks have trouble getting back in. I've been fortunate that I've been able to find my way back in. We'll see what happens this time, of course.
So it still comes down to that there it is, right there, you know, that difficult question. You can lean in and lean in and lean in, but there's a point at which many women will want to be home for that emergency for their child.
Well, you know, I wish we could all forecast the emergency for our child, but where I'd love the conversation to go is success definition. And what does success mean for you? Well, for you, it's to be CEO of your company. For you, it's to be an amazing entrepreneur.
I know, but you know, Cheryl says, unless we have more women who want to be the CEOs, it's not going to get better for women who are not the CEOs.
But I'd ask, CEO of what? And so there's another path, which is CEO of a company that I started with 20 people, with 100 people. The cost of starting businesses is declining rapidly. Because of technology. And so what I'm fascinated to watch is, yes, here are the women who are going up the corporate ladder. Here are the women who are moving in and out of the workforce. But here are the women who are starting businesses. A good friend of mine, I've got this business. It's not going to be much for 6 years. And then when the kids are of a certain age, zoom, away we go. Mm. And I think this is a new path that is really promising for the advancement of women in business.
Sally Krawcheck, thanks so much.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
And again, Sally is now advising women on startups, and as we just heard, maybe challenging some of Facebook COO Sheryl Sandberg's thinking that women should lean in more to get ahead. Sally leaned in and got pushed out. And by the way, I know it's the Leaning Tower of Pisa, not pizza. Anyway, I'll be hosting a forum with Sheryl Sandberg tonight at the Coolidge Corner Theater here in Boston. It is long sold out. But have you read Lean In? Do you have a question for Sheryl? Tweet it to me at Here and Now Robin, or you can leave it as a comment at hereandnow.org. Love to hear from you. Latest news is next. Here and Now,